Tell you this morning, I am so excited and thankful for every person that has come this way today. Amen. The week has been a very eventful week, to say the least. Today, our president has called a National Day of Prayer. The Southern Baptist Convention also asked that we as Southern Baptists would come to God's throne of grace today and ask God's blessing and His healing upon our nation. So with that said, let's bow our heads together and pray to our God. Our Father and our God, we know that You are our sovereign Lord. We know that all things come for good to those who love You and are Your people. And today we have gathered in the midst of a lot of turmoil, in the midst of fear, in the midst of a pandemic, and we've come, Lord, with great confidence today. Confidence that You are in control, that You are our God and we are Your people. And Father God, we think of the many times within the pages of Your holy word, we've found people in peril and in trouble, in fear of their life. In the Old Testament, we know Joseph was in a pit. We also know that Daniel was in a lion's den. Three Hebrew children were thrown into a fiery furnace. In the New Testament, we read about a man named Stephen, who loved You with all of his heart, soul, mind, and strength. We hear of the Apostle Paul and the other apostles and how that they threw caution to the wind in the midst of possibility of losing their life just because of their faith. And in every circumstance, You were with them, O Lord. And today we know that You are with us as a church, as a state, and a nation, and in the world. We know that You have all things in Your hand. And so, Father God, we also believe in Your holy word where it says for us to bring all of our concerns to You and to lay those at Your feet. And so, today, O God, as we join together here in this place, along with the many other churches of all denominations who have come to worship You in adoration and praise today, we come praying, O God, that Your healing hand and Your mighty power, which is above all things, any situation, any pestilence, any pandemic, anything, You, O God, are greater. We come together today to ask that Your hand be upon this entire situation that surrounds us today. Father, we're thankful for where Your word says that we are not a people of fear, that fear doesn't come from You, but through Your love and through the finished work of the Lord Jesus, we are a people of faith. And so, Father God, help us have that faith. Help us hold on to You as we lay this burden at Your feet today, O God, and ask for You to remove this pandemic from the entire globe. We also lift to Your throne of grace those who have been affected by it so far. We ask, God, for healing. We ask, Father God, that Your hand would be upon families of those that have been affected personally, either through contracting the COVID-19 virus or even those that have passed because of it. Give us peace beyond our understanding, O God, as only You can. Help us be Your people in the midst of this trouble. Help us be a shining light upon a hill with a message of hope for all mankind through your Son and our Lord, Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. I want you to turn this morning to 2 Timothy and chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Undoubtedly, verse 7 of 2 Timothy chapter 1 will be preached in a lot of churches today, and it will be preached in your church today as well. And I want to start by asking a question. Are you living in fear or in power? Are you living in fear or in power? 2 Timothy, I'm going to go ahead and read from verse 1, but the main text this morning that I want us to focus on is verse 7. God's word says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Jesus Christ. To Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank you, God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. Let's bow our heads in prayer. O Lord, we ask, God, that through the reading of this holy word that we will be uplifted today, that we will grasp your love and the hope that it gives us. And Father God, most of all, that the Lord Jesus Christ would be manifested in a great and mighty way. It's in his name I pray. Amen. Now, I don't remember if I've ever told you all this story about me or not, about when I was a little boy or not. And my mother let us go to the movies together. My brother and I used to go to the movies together in Loudoun, Tennessee, in a place called the Village Playhouse. It was a wonderful place. Not very big, certainly about maybe one section of this entire auditorium was about as large as the Village Playhouse was, but they showed movies every weekend on Saturday mornings, and my mom would let my brother and I go down to the Village Playhouse and watch movies, and it was pretty cheap out for her because for about a dollar, we could get in the movie and not see only one movie, but sometimes as many as three movies. Most of the time, a double feature, and she would pull up and let us out on those Saturday mornings, and that way we were out of her hair for pretty cheap that for about a half a day. And boy, we enjoyed that. And they showed a lot of different kinds of movies. They would usually have some Disney movies, and either a Western type movie or sometimes a scary movie. And I remember one day that she let us out, and we went up to the window to pay, and we saw the poster on the window entitled The Alamo. I tell you, that was one movie. Have you seen the movie The Alamo? It was absolutely a fantastic movie. But also, on that particular morning, there was another poster in the window. And I looked up at that poster, and the name of the movie was I Was a Teenage Werewolf. I said that to say this. My mom was not afraid for us to be there. My mom had no fear to let her two little boys out on the streets of downtown Loudoun, Tennessee, to go to the Village Playhouse to see a movie every Saturday while we were out from school most of the time in the summertime. But this double feature on that day absolutely scared the living daylights out of a little six-year-old boy who was always scared about everything anyway. I was a teenage werewolf starring Little Joe Cartwright, also known as Michael Landon. And I tell you what, my emotions were all over the place on that day, because I remember the main feature was, of course, the Alamo, and it came on first. And I remember how old John Wayne was up there, and every time one of the cannons that went off from the Alamo and blew up a bunch of men out there in the field, everybody in the whole place would just go bananas with a victory shout. And I remember how at the very end, the last scene of the movie was Davy Crockett with that, he was out of bullets, but he was still fighting with that musket. And every time he'd knock one of old Santa Ana's men upside the head and knock them down, the place went bonkers. And pandemonium filled the entire place. But my emotions went from a victory shout to absolute holy terror when I Was a Teenage Werewolf came on, from shouts of joy and victory to me in the floor not being able to look on the screen. And by the time I got out of there, I was a wreck. I'm just going to tell you, it scared the living daylights out of me. And I came to the car, I'll never forget, Mom looked at me and I was about as white as a sheet. And she said, "Tim, what in the world is wrong with your little brother?" He said, "Oh, Mom, don't worry. It just scared him when Joe Cartwright turned into a werewolf. He wasn't able to handle that." And that played well with my mother, because she used fear a lot of the time to keep me in line, if you know what I mean. If you don't straighten out, young man, I'm going to call Little Joe Cartwright and make him mad. I'll tell you what, it scared the living daylights out of me. But now I want to say this. Back then it was a kinder and a gentler time in the 60s. And that certainly has changed in the day in which we live. Now it's not so much so. We didn't live in fear back in those days. But things have changed. As we all know today, we are living in a day that is filled with things to be afraid of. Are you living in fear today? Or are you living in power? The text said, "For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." People in our day are afraid, and I want to tell you, for good reason. The government has become a behemoth. It's a tax and spend our money kind of deal in the day in which we live. They're absolutely bent on adding more of a tax burden on all the citizens of the United States of America that pay taxes. They want to micromanage us. They want to be involved in every single aspect of our lives in the day in which we live. We have one side who is ultra-conservative, another side who is ultra-liberal. Both of them claim to have the answers to all of our problems, but they don't. There are wars. There are rumors of wars all over the entire globe. There are famines. There are diseases. There are pestilences everywhere. And there is a pestilence that we are having to deal with right now in this nation, in this state, in this community, and in the entire world. A biological terrorist who wants to wreak havoc on us today. It's called the COVID-19 virus, also known as the coronavirus. People are getting sick. Many have passed and lost their battle with this biological terrorist. Families are reeling from it all. The economy is tanked because of it. Our government is arguing about it. The news media is putting out propaganda and false reports about it. The entire globe has been affected by this biological terrorist. Because of that, we are seeing churches not having services today. On our way here this morning, we passed by about a half a dozen churches, and I think we're one of three of those maybe that are having services this morning. The parking lots were empty. But I want to tell you something, friends. I think we're right where we need to be this morning. You name it, there's plenty to be afraid of in the day in which we live. Fear is everywhere. Here, there's fear. There, there's fear. Everywhere, there's the fear of this biological terrorist called the COVID-19. And you and me and all of us are afraid quite often. And fear causes a lot of weird things to happen in our lives. Causes us to do a lot of irrational things. It makes us make irrational decisions in life. It causes panic, overpowering anxiety is triggered by this fear. And all of this means that our reaction to fear is almost always the wrong reaction. The Bible says that fear is not of God. Fear is of the evil one. Fear is of the devil. Now, I want to think, and I believe this with all of my heart and soul, I don't believe that churches, I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt. I'm not going to believe that they closed today because of fear, but out of love. I'm not going to believe that we changed our schedule a little bit out of fear, but out of the love for people. Because this is a real thing, but the fact is fear in our lives reveals to us a lot of things. And one of the things that it can reveal to us is that evil is working on us. We are being attacked by the evil one. But if we are children of God, if we are truly born again, little children of God, the Bible says there is no fear. Amen? Amen. There is no fear when you are in Christ Jesus the Lord. 1 John 4:13 through 18 says, "Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he is in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Christ Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because he as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love." And so, friends, there is no fear because God is love. And there is no fear in God's love. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that giving us hope today? Doesn't that build hope and confidence within our heart and within our soul and within our mind? So, if we are children of God, there is no fear. I mean, when we're really born again children of God, little born again children of God, there is no fear, or there should be no fear. Because when we got saved, hallelujah, by God's grace, through Jesus Christ the Lord, he made us complete. We're not half made now, we're wholly made in Christ Jesus, where we dwell in him. You are not manifested of the devil. You are manifested of the Lord Jesus. You are existing in love, not in fear, because, friend, you are in Christ. That makes you complete. If you're letting fear rule your life right now, then you aren't manifesting this love of God in your life. You are manifesting the devil in your life. Now, church, it's time for us to stop that. It's time for us to stop living in what manifests Satan and start living in what manifests God. And that is none other than hope and love through the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no fear in the perfect love of God. When you come to Christ, who is perfect? Christ Jesus. His perfection through his love has been placed within your heart and within your soul and within your mind, and it drives out this fear. And it's the very same fear that may be trying to take control of your life right now. It's time to quit it. Amen? It's time to quit this fear thing and start doing what Christians are supposed to do, and that is to walk by faith in Christ and in Christian love for our fellow man and for God. And you know what that gives you when you do that? Power. It gives you the power of Almighty God. Fear is no match for the person with the brave heart of the Lord Jesus Christ within your heart. Hallelujah. Amen. And so, concerned, yes. Afraid, no. Yet a lot of Christians are the biggest scaredy cats in the entire world. Did you know that? And when we are running around scared Christians, we can't be a blessing. And do you know something else? When you're running around as a scared Christian, you cannot be blessed either. We can't even have the blessings of God, the same blessings that God wants us to have, the same blessing that he puts within our hearts. We can't have those blessings when we're running around always afraid and in fear. Paul says to Timothy in the text this morning, you need to get the fear out. Amen? And instead of fear, stir up within your heart the gifts that God gave you through the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to get stirred up, church. Well, how do you do that, PT? Remember what God has done for us in our life. Remember where we used to be, and remember what we used to live like before Christ. And when you do that, then you can say, now look where we are. Amen? Now look at us. Here we were, once lost, but hallelujah, now I'm found, and now I have the power of Almighty God living within my heart. A lost sheep is a fearful sheep, but when the good shepherd finds the sheep, and the good shepherd lays that sheep, that lost sheep, across his shoulders, a calm comes upon that little lost sheep. It relaxes. All fear subsides. It simply melts away and leaves that little lost sheep. And so I have to ask today the question, has your fear left you? If it has, the shepherd is carrying you on his shoulders. If it has not, a wolf is carrying you on his shoulders. The shepherd picks you up in his arms and carries you on his shoulders. The big bad wolf picks you up in his mouth between his fangs. And you know what he's going to do? Eventually, he's going to have you for lunch. Now listen once again. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So ask yourself just exactly what does a sound mind do for someone? Friends, a sound mind tells you something. A sound mind tells you you should not fear if you have the shepherd. The sound mind tells us if we're going to be afraid of something, be afraid of the big bad wolf. Well, why is that? Friends, it's because shepherds save. Wolves steal. Shepherds preserve. Wolves kill. Shepherds build up. Wolves devour and tear down. My friends, I am happy to tell you this morning who the good shepherd is. None other than the Lord Jesus Christ. He will lift you up in his power. His spirit is a spirit of love. And when he comes into your heart, into your life, that so-called big bad wolf absolutely can't stand toe-to-toe with the Lord Jesus. Some may be thinking, preacher, you don't get it. You just don't understand. My boss hates me, and I'm about to get fired. I'm about to lose my job. My doctor told me that if I don't quit eating barbecue, potato salad, and pasta, that I ain't going to be around too much longer. He's telling me I need to eat salads and greens and puffed rice cakes and alfalfa sprouts, or I'm going to die. If the economy doesn't turn around due to this coronavirus, I'm going to lose my 401k. In fact, my 401k is almost TKO. My Social Security check's already been spent by the government. I'll never get a Social Security check. I'm scared. Yada, yada, yada. There is no fear if you have the Lord Jesus. God just won't bless that kind of thinking. You can't be blessed if you think that way. If you live under the power of fear in your life, friends, you won't receive the blessing of Almighty God. And by the way, I can go along with eating salads and greens and some of those things. That's good stuff. I'm not sure about those puffed rice cakes. I think about eating a puffed rice cake, it's kind of like eating the lid off of a styrofoam Mentor bucket, if you want to know the truth. Friends, we got to start believing God, because God can, God will, and God is with you always, even unto the end of the age. And when this age is over, hallelujah, you'll go into another age if you're in Christ. God's word is yes and amen, amen. God's word puts it just like this, and I'm almost done. And I was going to read the whole thing, but I'm just going to pick out a few verses. In Psalm 91, verse 5, thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor the destruction that wastes at noonday. 1,000 may fall by thy side, 10,000 by thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague, any pestilence, any pandemic shall not come nigh thy dwelling. For God shall give his angels charge over you to keep thee in all thy ways. Thou shalt bear thee up. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder, the young lion and the serpent shalt thou trample under feet. I want to tell you something, friends. You need to stand on that today. In the midst of everything that we're going through right now, we can stand on Psalm 91. But you know what else it says in the Word? Fear not. God has heard our voices. Isaiah 41:10. Fear not, for I am your God. That's what he's telling us. Isaiah 41:10. Fear not, I will help you. That's what God says. Isaiah 41:13. Fear not, I have redeemed you. Isaiah 43:1. Fear not, for I have called your name, Isaiah 43, 1. Fear not, whom I have chosen, Isaiah 44, 2. Fear not, peace be with you, Daniel 10, 19. Fear not, O land, be glad and rejoice, for the Lord has done marvelous things, Joel 2 and 21. Fear not, church, the King is coming and everything's going to be okay. Let's bow our heads today. Every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking around. And I want to ask you a question. I want you to be honest with yourself. You know, God knows your heart. He wants you to be honest with Him always. So I want to ask you this question. Has anyone in this building this morning, in the past week, week and a half, been living in fear? If you have, just lift your hands. Nobody's going to see you. Just lift your hands. I see you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Bless you. Now I want us to all repeat this prayer. Just say this after me. Let's pray it together out loud. Most gracious Heavenly Father, your word says for me to live in your love. But I have been living in fear more than I have in love. I have not been manifesting you, O Lord, because I have been living in fear. That means I've manifested the adversary. But today, O Lord, I repent of this. And today, O Lord, I turn away from this kind of living. I turn to you. And I promise from this day forward to live in the power of the love of Jesus and the power of a sound mind, just as your holy word instructs. In Jesus' name, amen.